Well, good morning. Welcome to Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church, and a happy Father's Day to all of you fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and father figures in this room, and I hope it is a joyful day for each of you. There are a few different things going on in the life of this church as we step further into our summer time together. You'll notice the choir is not up front. We don't have the choir back until September. And so each week we have different folks helping lead us in worship. Grateful for Sharon Freud, who is filling in for Chris Martin on the organ today. And then Dr. Christine Anderson, one of our wonderful members, will be assisting in leading worship as well on the violin. Do note, there's an announcement right here in your bulletin. Christine and her group are doing a concert here in the social room on Saturday, July 2nd at 7 p.m., a Baroque concert, and all are welcome, free concert. Would love to see you there, and you can read more about the details of that in your bulletin, but again, that is Saturday, July 2nd. Couple other things coming up this summer, a little sooner than that. If you are interested in the Scotland trip some are looking to take next summer, 2017, you can go to an informational meeting next June 25th, Saturday, June 25th, 5:30 here at the church, Fellowship Hall. If you can't make it or you have questions, talk to Christopher Tweel, and we'll go from there. But there is a group starting to pull some of that together. Couple things for this summer. I mentioned last week we're doing a book club. If you need summer reading, we'll recommend you Gilead by Mary Lynn Robinson. And you're invited to read this, take it wherever you are this summer, read it. And then there's a couple book club discussion options in late July. Sign up. When we get closer, we'll have RSVPs, and you can pick one of those and come to that. Should be a good read. There are a few copies out in the hallway just outside the narthex, and you can purchase that for $9. Just put your $9 in the little plastic bucket there that you'll see, and you can grab a copy. Of course, you can order your own as well. The other thing that we are doing is this Back to the Basics summer series. So if you're coming to Sunday school week to week, beginning at 9:45 a.m., we're doing a Back to the Basics series, exploring the fundamentals of the Reformed tradition. What is it that undergirds who we are and what we believe, what we do as Presbyterians? And then in worship, we're doing this Back to the Basics series, where each week we're looking at some of the most fundamental anchor scriptures in the Bible. If you were to point to some of just the 12 essential ones that really get at the heart of a lot of the gospel, you might point to these. And so each week, going through one of those kind of scriptures and inviting you to a spiritual challenge to try and memorize the scripture that is coming up for the next Sunday. See if you can't work with that and let God work that on your heart. And so you'll see in your bulletin, the last page, Romans 8, 22 through 25 is the scripture for next Sunday that you're invited to begin marinating on and see if God doesn't work something in and through you as you consider that in the coming week. I invite you now to stand wherever you are and greet a few folks around you.
Welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Thank you.
Please stand for our call to worship. Your steadfast love, O Lord, is better than life. Therefore, our lips will praise you. We will bless you as long as we live. We will lift up our hands and call on your name, for you have been our help, and in your presence we sing for joy.
Once again, welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church at 1627 Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. This is the 93rd year of radio ministry at Grace Covenant, and today's broadcast is number 4794. The Reverend Mr. Robert Home Lippert is our pastor. This morning's sermon, entitled It's an Invitation, will be delivered by Reverend Mr. Home Lippert. Assisting in the service today are guest organist Sharon Freuda, violin soloist Christine Anderson, and Christopher Tweel, Director of Christian Formation and Pastoral Assistant here at Grace Covenant. Our church is handicapped accessible with an elevator, wheelchairs, hearing assistance, and large print bulletins and hymnals. Child care is provided for infants, toddlers, and kindergartners. Worship kits are available for older children at the entrance to the sanctuary. Our opening hymn is The Lord is God.
Children, take these holy words and keep them in your heart. We reflect on our lives and recognize we have not in all ways thoroughly or nearly thoroughly kept those words and lived from those words. And so we are drawn into a space of confession together. I'm going to invite you to pray the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin, and then at the end, leave moments of silence, and you can pray silently as God leads you in that space. A broken and contrite heart is the acceptable sacrifice to you, O God. And so we come before you today as sinners in need of your mercy. Grant us your forgiveness, O God. Help us turn from our old ways. Lead us into newness of life, that our actions may be found pleasing in your sight. Amen. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. They are from everlasting to everlasting. They cover you this day in Christ Jesus, who has forgiven you, freed you, and made you new. Thanks be to God. Amen. A reminder, we don't have children's chapel during the summer, but our children 6 years and younger are welcome during the service, certainly at this time, if you'd like to go to childcare in room 102. Please join with me in a prayer for illumination. God, we give thanks that you have given us your word. And we pray that as we open your word, what we hear are not just words written on a page, interesting tidbits of poetry and history. But in fact, what we hear is your voice, your love, your will, your way. Attune our hearts, attune our ears to hear that, to let your word take hold of our hearts and lead us from this space as faithful followers of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned in the announcements, we are in a Back to the Basics series, certainly in our Sunday school, as well in worship, going back to the basics with some of these fundamental scriptures each week. And last week it was Isaiah 6, and we talked about back to the basics. When it comes to the Christian faith, it's about God. We explored that in Isaiah 6 last week. Today we explore Isaiah 55, back to the basics. It's about an invitation. Ho, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread and your labor on that which does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me. Eat what is good and delight your soul in the richest of fare. Incline your ear to me. Listen. Come to me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. And surely you will summon nations you know not. Nations that do not know you will come running to you because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, he's endowed you with splendor. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I was in St. Petersburg, Russia, with Michelle and her family about a dozen years ago. It was one of many stops on this particular cruise that we were doing. We're walking the local market there alongside our local guide from Russia, and the market is not unlike many markets in this world, full of people and vendors and booths. Over here, I got a deal for you. Special deal just today, just for you. Or sometimes, right, they'll come over, wear this, looks great, and now you owe me this much. Usually this scene stresses me out, all the voices and choices and deals. But oftentimes, there is something that does eventually catch my attention. In this case, it was a particular vendor who was selling a silver pocket watch originally used by the KGB. It was given to all those who served in the KGB. The historian in me was fascinated to think about how the spies used to carry these around. I wondered if any American spies had ever procured one. I asked our guide, the local Russian woman, if the watch is real. Oh yes, she assures me. A real Cold War artifact. How much? I want to say the vendor started around $150 or $200. I look again to our guy for some translation help, since the vendor doesn't speak English, and we haggle a bit, but he's not going lower than $100. I watch then as our guide and this man spoke in Russian for a minute or two, and then the guide, she turns to me and she says, "He's not budging. It's a unique item. I can vouch for it." I hemmed and hawed for probably 15, 20 minutes, just walking in circles, thinking about it. It's a special family trip. This could be a special way to commemorate the trip. I'm a sucker for historical artifacts. How fun it would be to carry this timepiece in my coat pocket. I bought it. We boarded the cruise ship later that day. Next day or two, we got off at our next stop at the port in Latvia. And there on the boardwalk, located just off the ship, was a long string of vendors making up yet another marketplace. And one of the very first ones I saw had a few of these timepieces. I looked closely at the label, $30 a piece. The vendor there, he sees that I'm noticing these timepieces and immediately in broken English says, "For you, $20, two for $35. I had a fake. It looked good. It looked important. It looked shiny. The guide had lied. It was a replica you could find all over the place. In fact, I Googled it later and found plenty others around the world who have a KGB watch from Russia. The basic assumption of Isaiah 55, and really scripture as a whole, is that we're walking in this marketplace of life and we're buying up things that appear good but actually lack any real substance. They are fake. They are empty pursuits that gobble up time and money and energy. The Bible sometimes calls them idols. And so Isaiah 55 assumes we need to be called away from the vendors that normally catch our attention, our money, our time. So Isaiah 55 begins with the word ho. It's a translation of the Hebrew word oi, which could be just as easily translated, "Hey, listen up." It's a word from the streets. It's a word that would be used by street vendors in the marketplace trying to get your attention to come buy something. The people of Israel would have immediately recognized this word and the marketplace imagery it conjures. And this particular vendor in Isaiah 55, he's got a deal. "Hey there. You're thirsty? Come to the waters. Oh, you don't have money? Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost." The voice stands out in the marketplace because it's absurd. The vendor seems to be offering something that's the epitome of too good to be true: free water, wine, milk. And on top of that, it's a paradoxical invitation. What does it mean to buy at no cost? This is a different kind of invitation for the marketplace, though we do have to admit the paradox has a familiar ring. It sounds like the one who spoke of free grace that'll cost you your life, the one who spoke of losing your life to save your life, the one who spoke of a burden being light and giving rest to the weary while at the same time calling us to carry a cross, the one who said, blessed are the poor, the meek, the grieving, the persecuted. We've heard paradox before from a trusted voice, just not usually in a voice speaking in the common marketplace. Who is this vendor calling out such a different invitation? Perhaps the listener is tempted to just keep walking. This vendor sounds crazy. There must be a catch. We know there's no such thing as a free lunch or water or milk and wine. So the vendor shifts tactics and shows a surprising perceptivity. Why do you spend money on that which is not bread? Why do you labor for that which doesn't even satisfy? How'd that vendor know how I'm spending my money, my time, our energy? Of course, again, this is the basic assumption of the passage, that we're in this marketplace of life getting duped by that which does not truly satisfy, buying up shiny objects that don't actually have real substance and enduring value. We think a shiny career or a position, that will finally fill us. We think a shiny retirement or investment will finally settle us. We pursue the shiny image of a perfect family with all the right schools and all the right opportunities. Some of us, we yearn for the return to some other elusive golden age of the church. If we could just look like the church in the book of Acts or the church in 1962, that look, that feel. We're attracted to shiny, pithy political slogans that look like a way forward. There are a lot of vendors out there selling a lot of shine. Where do we put our time? Where do we put our money, our energy, our anxiety? Isaiah 55 assumes we get caught up with shiny preoccupations that appear and feel quite important in the moment. And then you dock at the next port in life and you realize how empty the pursuit was. The way I look back at the ports of high school or college or my first job, and I just shake my head at what I thought mattered. Oh my gosh. But I worry, because if at every stage of my life I can look back and I could shake my head at some big things, then probably at this stage in my life I have some shiny objects I'm sure are terribly important. What about you? Okay. We turn to the vendor. Tell me about this water, this wine, this milk you're offering, this meal of substance. The vendor leans in at the opportunity. Listen to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight in the richest of fare. Give ear to me. Come to me. Listen. That your soul might live. Oh, now it becomes clear. The vendor selling soul food. This is about souls made alive. And again, this voice is familiar. We turn over to Proverbs 9 in Scripture, where wisdom is personified as a woman, and she calls out to the simple, come, eat my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. Well, it seems the identity of our Isaiah 55 vendor is wisdom herself. And wisdom stands at the table and offers a meal that nourishes the soul. Of course, now we probably start to connect the dots to the first hunch we had about the real identity of this vendor. Many years later, the Apostle Paul would be reflecting on wisdom in his first letter to the Corinthians, and he would write that Jesus himself was the full manifestation of the wisdom of God. And so we look back at the passage in Isaiah 55 and realize this is not just any street vendor. It's not even just wisdom generally calling forth to us. It is Jesus calling forth in the marketplace of the world. come this way. The most basic invitation in the Christian faith, it comes from Jesus. It goes to all, especially the thirsty and the ones without money. And the invitation is to come to him, to follow him, to put him first, to learn from him, to find life in him. Like last week's back to the basic message, maybe this sounds almost too simple. And yet, truth be told, I think this is the invitation we're aching to hear again. This is the voice we are desperate to hear today. The Orlando shooting last week has weighed on all of us. It has also brought voices in this country to a fever pitch. We're standing in the marketplace of life, and there are voices on all sides of this offering a way forward, a way we should think about guns and terrorism, domestic violence, Muslim, the LGBTQ community. Shiny slogans and leaders claiming, grabbing for our ear. Now some in the mix there, they seem to be selling something substantial, something good. But then sometimes we worry we're just latching on to the latest shiny idea. It's really nothing. It's not wisdom. It's actually just hate covered in shine. I think all of us gathered here today, we want to be faithful Christians in this divided and tense and pained country of ours. We want to be the presence of Jesus in this world, in our workplace, in our schools, when we write, when we do speak up. Oh, we know the world needs Jesus. But the cacophony of voices and anger and ideas, they're all so loud and all at once. The anxieties and fears, it's palpable. And then that doesn't even count all the inner doubts, the inner critiques, the inner fears that keep clamoring inside. We're tired in a very big place full of commotion. So we turn to the vendor. Tell me more. How can I buy this meal? Water, wine, milk. How might our souls be nourished on the richest of fare in a way that makes us glow with health and the nations and people groups we don't even know find hope and healing in our midst? Because isn't that where Isaiah 55 goes? Other ethnic groups, nations, ethne, will come running to God's people, we read, finding healing and goodness with God's people. Because the people of God are filled with nourishing life. As the final passage of our verse puts it, they are endowed with splendor, having eaten this meal. How about that for irony? We've been chasing after shiny objects, and all this time, God's goal is to make us a people who shine in splendor that does not spoil or fade, brimming with life and word and deed, a healing to the nations. And so maybe finally, we decide to drop our empty timepieces and we seed our days to the Lord, because the offer is so much more substantive here. How can I buy this meal and so shine in splendor in this dark world? Well, did you notice in our short five verses that the vendor repeats one sentiment four times? That's a lot in a little section. Listen, listen, give ear to me, listen. The main action invited by Jesus is listen. He knows how loud the marketplace is, how loud our lives are, how loud our country is, how loud the pain is, how loud the other sellers are. He knows how difficult it is to truly hear that one still small voice speaking love and truth. And so four times, listen. And in Scripture, listening is never some sort of passive hearing. Listening entails an active understanding of what is heard, so much so that then you go embody it. In fact, in Scripture, God doesn't consider you've actually heard God's word unless the word is also enacted in your life. Listen with all that you are. And if you're like me, that's why you're here in worship. You're hoping to hear that voice cutting through the marketplace crowd. And as Christians, we believe Jesus speaks most clearly through the Bible. By the power of the Holy Spirit, what we hear is Jesus speaking words of life. That's why, right, we have the prayer for illumination. Holy Spirit, may these not just be words, but in fact, your very voice, your very life, your very love. And when Jesus speaks, the words can heal, they can convict, they can guide, they can give life, they can nourish, because they are the same voice that gave birth to creation, the same voice that conquered the power of death. So I want to end this sermon a little bit differently this morning, because I think we know there's plenty going on in our lives, in our country, and amid the cacophony of voices vying for our attention, and then the internal voices, we just need to hear Jesus again, the wise vendor with words of life. And what I'm going to do to end this sermon is simply then read a number of scriptures. I'm going to invite you to quiet and listen and hear these scriptures and listen most fundamentally for the voice of Jesus. Let his words just wash over you like water and gladden you like wine and fortify you like milk. Now, I don't want you to lose sight of all that's going on in this world and this nation, not at all. The guns, the violence, Muslims, Christians, LGBTQ community, our nation, Orlando, Charleston, black, white. Once these words of Jesus begin to fill you, what I want you to do then is take them and pray these scriptures over these various people groups, these various communities who are definitely on God's heart this morning. Listen. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. A voice is heard in Ramah. Mourning and great weeping. It's Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. The Lord will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. The nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those servants went out to the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God God saw everything that he made, and indeed, it was very good. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." Amen. In response to God's word, let us stand together and sing, "Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts."
You are listening to the live broadcast of a worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. You have just heard this morning's sermon entitled, "It's an Invitation," which was delivered by Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert. The congregation will now join in singing, "Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts," which is number 510 in the Presbyterian hymnal.
Let us continue standing together so that we may say what we believe as one people. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I invite you all to bow and pray with me the prayers of the people. Heavenly and holy God, we pray on this day for the people of every nation. As all people are created by God, you are the Father of us all, the creator of every mote in the universe. God, we pray for those who are in the darkness of solitude, that watery depth that seems endless below them, that fearful aloneness that causes us, that drives us to act out in irrational anger. God, we confess that we wrap our anger around us like a blanket, thinking that it will insulate us from the things that make us afraid. We see your children as only enemies, as only killers, as people who are poor and crude. We buy with our words and our emotions false bread. We listen to false prophets who demand our anger and fear. We gather on this day to pray that you would give us your truth. Some kernel, some seed deep within us cries out for it. Cries out for real bread, for real prophets. Enable us to listen with all that we are. Let us not be immature. Let your word take root in us and its meaning. Let our prayers witness to a community in tears. Let our hearts reflect the grace and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us perfectly to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
In response to the gracious invitation of our God, we give our every day, our every hour, our lives, and certainly that encompasses the money that we have been entrusted. We steward that in ways that reflect the generosity of God, trusting that God will use what is given to further God's good news, God's gospel, God's invitation in this city and around the world. You're invited to give as you're led and as you're considering how God is calling you. You have your communication cards, and I'll remind you, let us know you're here. Please let us know if we can be praying with you or giving thanks alongside you, and if there's any specific ways we can be following up about ministries in the life of this church. Again, give as you're led.
Thank you.
Gracious God, we give thanks that in Jesus Christ you nourish us with water and wine and milk, with sustenance for our souls. You make us alive. You make us light. Take these, our gifts, our offerings, as a thank you to all you have given us for the meal you so freely give in Jesus Christ, and use what is given here that your invitation might go forth more and more into this city, into this nation, and into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're invited to remain standing for our closing hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Following this service of worship, all are invited just down the hallway this direction to the social room for, I forgot, it's nice out. Let's go outside, the terrace. Thank you, Kent Cardwell. Go outside to the terrace on Monument Avenue, hang out, food, drink, time to connect, or meet someone for the first time. Scriptures assume that we're walking in a marketplace full of vendors selling shiny objects, shiny leaders, shiny politicians, shiny slogans, shiny ways forward, shiny objects. And if we're honest, we're frequent buyers. But then a wise vendor's voice cuts through the cacophony. You thirsty? Come to the waters. No money? Come buy and eat. Water and wine without cost. Listen. Listen to me and let your soul delight in the richest of fare. May the living word of God cut through it all this week for you, anchor you, hold you, and allow you to actually shine. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and always. Amen.
Thank you.
For the past hour, you have been listening to the worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Those of us in the radio ministry would like to note with sadness the passing of church member John Watts Roberts, who died this past Tuesday, June the 14th, just shy of his 98th birthday. Mr. Roberts and his wife Jane were great supporters of the radio ministry at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. Please join us again next Sunday through our radio ministry or in our sanctuary at 1627 Monument Avenue. Your announcer today has been John Harris, and the engineer was Steve Kemp. This service streams live and can be accessed through the church's website, which is grace-covenant.org. We now return you to Christian Talk Radio on WLES.